In the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior, the one we follow all our days. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament lesson, 1 Kings 19. God coming to his disgruntled, discouraged prophet Elijah. We pray. Lord, give us the whisper of your word, for we know even a whisper is so strong to give us faith, to forgive our sins, to give us the hope of everlasting life, to conquer all of hell. May we gladly hear your word, receive it in faith. Bless the teaching, preaching, hearing of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you all know, in life there are peaks and there are valleys, there are ups and there are downs. Yesterday and this weekend is a great peak for our family. Reached its climax about what? About 5:40, 5:45 yesterday as Megan and Carter were married, and then celebration. And I told Carter all he has to do as a son-in-law, just bring me a gallon of sweet tea from McDonald's every now and then. And maybe a few beverages would be nice too every now and then. And I'm in, right, Brad? You're already in? Yes? So we're on a high, a peak, and that's great. But then there are the valleys in life and the very low points in life. And that's life, ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And 1 Kings 19 brings us back down to reality, at least me back down to reality, because you have the prophet Elijah who is in a major valley, not in a valley, but in a cave, actually. A very low point in his life as a prophet. Very discouraged, disgruntled, and thinks he's all alone, no one cares. His ministry has been very ineffective, he thinks. A little context might be helpful here. God called Elijah to be prophet during the worst time in Israel's history. You've all heard of Ahab and Jezebel. Good people or bad people? Very, very bad people. Probably the worst king and worst queen that Israel ever had. Very, very wicked and idolatrous. They led the entire nation into idolatry. They killed the true prophets of God. And God called Elijah in the midst of that to go and preach repentance and draw people back to the true God. And Elijah apparently thinks he has very little success, but he does preach repentance. And there is the big showdown earlier in 1 Kings that you should remember from Sunday school, the great showdown at Mount Carmel, where you have one true prophet, Elijah. Ahab and Jezebel have killed off all the other prophets. And you have 450 false prophets for Baal, the false god they were worshiping. And they gather on Mount Carmel. And Elijah says, okay, we're going to each build an altar. And you call upon Baal to bring down fire on your sacrifice to show he accepts it. And then we'll know he's the true God. I will call on the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, the true God, to accept my sacrifice. Well, you know the story. The prophets of Baal, 450 of them, they cry, they moan, they do a dance to try to get Baal's attention, and nothing happens because there is no Baal. He's an idol. And then Elijah calls down the true God, and the true God brings fire upon the altar. A great victory for Elijah. And Elijah must be thinking, finally, there's going to be mass conversions. Everybody's going to believe now. And God will bring down fire on Ahab and Jezebel and give it all these wicked people that won't believe. He'll convert Israel, and I will be honored, and I'll be popular, and all will go well. We'll live happily ever after. But it doesn't happen. There aren't, apparently, mass conversions. God doesn't bring down fire and brimstone on Ahab and Jezebel. Actually, things get a little worse. Jezebel, the wicked queen, takes a vow saying, I will have Elijah dead in 24 hours. I'm going to kill him. This is why Elijah then runs. He's afraid. He runs to the desert. He ends up a little while later in a cave in 1 Kings 19. Down, lonely, in a cave. And there are times we are in caves. Are you running, hiding, scared, discouraged? You have no hope. You don't see what's going to happen. Where are you, God? So forth. The key thing to talk about here for just a few minutes is how God deals with such a servant. God kick him out? God roll a stone in front of the cave saying, you loser, to keep you in the cave. God defrock him as a prophet. You're not good enough for me, you crybaby out here in a cave. I'll find somebody else. I'll just ignore you, Elijah. You're not worth my time if you won't stand up against Ahab and Jezebel and do my work. You're not worth my time. I'll go on from you. But what a kind, gracious God we have. Three things he does for Elijah. This is what he does for you and I when we're in the cave. God is faithful to him. God shows him a great, great future to give him hope. When you're in despair, you need hope that something good's going to come. And then God gives him a friend, a very good friend, to help him. First of all, God is very, very faithful to Elijah. Notice the obvious. God comes to Elijah. Nobody else is there to help Elijah. Where's all those other friends? He doesn't have any friends, I guess. He's out there by himself, but God shows up. God doesn't wait for Elijah to come to him. All right, you're going to have to come to the temple and I'll be there. God comes right to the cave where Elijah is. What a faithful God. And God comes in that low whisper, not in the fire or the earthquake, not in the wind that's shattering the rocks. God doesn't come to scare him, to threaten him, to lecture him, to give him a big long sermon about how pathetic he is, he has to get back to work, but the low whisper of compassion and tenderness. This makes me think of Christmas. God comes as a little baby in the manger. We sing Silent Night. The humble God who, and actually it's kind of foreshadowing because by tradition, Jesus was born in a cave. Elijah's in a cave. And God comes to a cave with a low whisper. You're forgiven. We hear this low whisper. You're forgiven of your sins. You heard it this morning. Not a lot, just you're forgiven. This is my body, this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. It's all quite soft, although I can get loud, I realize. But it's a low whisper of God, the tender compassion of God, the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you. This is the tender compassion of God that we hear also in Jesus. God's so faithful to him. Short and simple. You know, a quick funny story. A while back, I was preparing, getting ready for Sunday morning, and I was shaving to get ready for Sunday morning. And I cut myself shaving, and that's a bad thing for a pastor to cut himself shaving on Sunday morning. How am I going to cover it up? Oh no. And I said to Ann, look, Ann, I was concentrating so much on my sermon that I cut myself shaving. She had some very wise words that every pastor should follow, that we should if we're counseling someone or talking. She said, you silly man, concentrate more on your shaving than cut your sermon. And so I probably did that day, and I thought, you know, that's not bad advice. That there are times we need a long lecture, we need to be taught and need to be instructed, and we need that lecture and someone to kind of pound it to us. We may need that at times, but when we are down and out and disgruntled, we don't need the wind and fire and earthquake. It's the short word of God. Cut the word short. You're loved. You're baptized. You're forgiven. Come on, let's get back to work. God's faithful. God comes to him. God's here today. He will never leave us or forsake us. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Everybody else may desert you. God will never desert you. God shows him a marvelous future. He gives Elijah a picture of the future. He tells him, now you get up and go. Don't sit here and pout in the cave. It's time to get back to work. Often when you're down and disgruntled, it's time to get back to work. Yes, cry, but get back to your job, your duty in life, whatever it is, whatever your calling is. Mom, a dad, grandpa, grandma, an engineer, a teacher. Get back to work. Do what God's called you to do. He says, now go and anoint Hazael, king of Syria, and Jehu, king of Israel, and Elisha, who's going to succeed you and be your friend. Get back to work. And then God says that I'm going to indeed destroy Ahab and Jezebel. They are wicked, and Hazael's going to kill some of that family. Whoever he doesn't kill, Jehu will kill, and then Elisha. Good's going to conquer evil, God is saying. It's going to happen. You don't see it right now, Elijah. You're scared in the cave. But I win. Good conquers evil. So be patient. I'll get vengeance. You just do your work. Let me take care of all the bad guys. And then God really gives him a, a picture of the distant future. And this, I think, is in the wind and earthquake and fire. Notice God's not in the wind, earthquake, and fire, but he's in that low whisper. As I mentioned, that's Christmas, or that's even the Old Testament, when God just talks, just a voice. But implied in all this is that God one day will come in an earthquake. And God one day will come in a wind that will tear down rocks. And God will come in a fire. God's going to come in a very powerful way to defeat all of hell. Now a whisper, but it's going to come. And when does the great earthquake happen? It's called Good Friday. A prophecy. Now a little whisper. That's Old Testament. Christmas. Christ hasn't done a whole lot yet. But the earthquake's coming. Good Friday and Easter. Two earthquakes. When God shakes the earth and delivers us from sin, death, and hell. More than delivering us from Ahab and Jezebel. They're nothing. God can conquer them with a low whisper. But to conquer sin, death, and hell, earthquake, and then wind and fire, Pentecost, the mighty wind of the Spirit that shadows, that shatters the rock of pride in our hearts and can give faith and give us humility, the fire of the Holy Spirit is going to come. Here we have a prophecy of the gospel. Good Friday, Easter, the Spirit will come, and God will come in a powerful way and defeat all enemies and give victory to his church, and there'll be eternal life and resurrection of the body. All this is prophesied to Elijah. So have hope. I win, God says. Quit your pouting. I win. My son will come, and there'll be victory. You just do your job like I called you to do it. Low whisper to wind, fire, and earthquake. Wow. Contrast. Old to new. You know, some of my brothers are here. They would agree with this, and Lois would too, my sister. My mom, I know, would. You know, Jim, my youngest brother, is probably the best at basketball. And Mark here today, he's the best at fishing and kind of outdoor stuff, hunting and that kind of thing. Dave, I don't know, did Dave make it today? Dave was the playboy. He had the most girlfriends. And Lois was the most patient with all her younger brothers. And mom was the angel who oversaw the whole thing along with dad. And I was probably, when you guys were probably the best baseball player. Jim in first service, my brother said no. He said he was, but Jim brags a lot. I think I was probably the best at baseball. And the way I remember it, we'd have a wiffle ball game. And I could throw the ball hard, Pat. I got 95 mile an hour fastball out of this arm in my heyday. And, you know, I just warm up and toss the wiffle ball. But it would go like 85 mile an hour. And I'd blow my brothers away. They couldn't hit it. And I was just tossing the ball. When I reared back and fired and wound up, guess what? They wouldn't even get in the batter's box. I'm afraid of them. He throws the ball. So is that the way you remember it, Mark? Mark remembers it. It's the way I remember it. All right, a soft pitch. Wow, he blows me away. But he really throws hard. It's like I can't even see the ball. It's so fast. Little exaggeration, but that's okay. My point this. In the Old Testament, God throws the soft pitch. I can toss out Ahab and Jezebel and Egypt and these countries, the Jericho wall is soft pitch. Just get rid of them. The New Testament comes the fastball. And that's the gospel. And this gospel conquers all hell. It is powerful. It's what we hear today and gather around today. This forgives our sins and gives us hope and despair, gives us the hope of heaven. We're going to rise from the dead and be with God forever. This gospel converts more than 7,000 people. It converts millions and millions and billions. And this gospel's at work in the church. Even though we often don't see it, we're like Elijah. I don't see this. Where's all the people? I don't see it all. God's at work. We hold on to that. We'll see it all in the end. So keep doing your job. And quit your crying. Last of all, God gives him a friend. He knows Elijah needs a friend. He gives him Elisha. And Elisha assists him and then replaces him, which gives him hope too that the ministry goes on. It's bigger than you, Elijah. Believe it or not, I really don't need you that bad. You're here for a while. I'll replace you with Elisha, who'll do even more than you do in a way. And then others will come too. So just do your job and I'll take care of it. But a great lesson here for the church. Reminds me of Jesus sending out the disciples. He always sent them two by two. He never sent them alone. He sent them two by two. You need somebody with you. If you're all alone, you're too vulnerable, you're too weak, you end up in a cave crying, you need a companion, a friend. A lesson here for the church. You know someone that's in a cave. They're down. They're sick. Don't ignore them. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Be a friend. Pastor will take care of it. If I had a flock of 30 people, I could take care of all that. We got a flock of 300, 400. It's hard for one man to take care of all that all the time. Elders will do it. Yes, we have great elders, but you can be a friend. You got a voice. You've got a hand to pat somebody on the back and to give the comfort. I'm here. God loves you. Let me help you. Can I listen? Can I help you through this? What can I do for you? Be that friend. This is the church. This is love. And if you are in the cave and you're crying and weeping inside today and you're in trouble, let us know about it. We're not omniscient. We don't know all things. I don't know all things. So be willing to share. I know sometimes we don't want to share anything. That's okay. But share your burden so we can help you bear your burdens and pray and give you assistance. This is the church. So there are times we're on a high and times we're on a low and times we're in the middle. God is always faithful. He's always here. God gives us a great, great future. We enjoy the future even now. Christ and heaven is to come in glory. The gates of hell can't stop the wind, fire, and earthquake of the gospel. And God gives us friends and family to help us along the way. What a gracious, compassionate God we have. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray to our God.